Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hall of Fame baseball writer, great broadcaster as well. The great Peter Gammons is with us. Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, certainly. I'm sure it's warm enough to play an afternoon game there in Cleveland.
I'll tell you, though, it's actually, we take this compared to some of the opening days we've had. It's like 45, although it's raining. But we've had much worse days than this, Peter. It's been bad at times, no doubt. Peter, I want to start with the Hall of Fame because, you know, Larry, obviously everybody knew Derek Jeter was going to get in, but Larry Walker gets in on his last year. If you could just share your thoughts on Walker getting in, building up to, you know, especially the last couple of years, the big jump he had.
You know, I think it's really fair. I did not vote for him. I had in the past, but there just came a point where I said, you know, playing every day is really important. And, you know, that posting him, I had a mixed opinion. I mean, he was a great player, not good. Great player, but I mean, he had more than 143 games played once in his career. I think actually number of plate appearances is the third or fourth lowest in Hall of Fame history. That said, I'm really happy he's in. He was a great player and really fun. I think what that does, I mean, first of all, it opens it up the whole Coors Field thing. Okay, fine. Some of his numbers were up, but there are a lot of things. Recovery is very difficult in that air. A lot of times guys don't hit on the road just because they're so used to at home facing pitches that don't move very much. I think Todd Helton will certainly make the Hall of Fame sooner or later. And I think it also, because there aren't any top guys next year, I think there'll be a very serious reevaluation of a lot of the guys. You know, Helton is one of them. Omar Vizquel is another. I think Schilling will get in next year. And Jeff Kent, Jeff Kent did have more extra base hits than Mickey Mantle, and he played second base. I mean, I think he's really been lost in the woods here. But I think the hall will be open next year a lot more than it has been in the last couple of years. So it'll be sort of fun to see where it all goes from here.
Peter, you mentioned Omar. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I do. I really believe it. I mean, he is. I think you can make a very strong argument that he's the greatest defensive shortstop in the history of the game. He got better and better as a hitter as he went along. He's very smart. If there are guys in the past that were glove only, he wasn't glove only. He became a pretty good offensive player. I think he will. I actually think he has a very good chance. He made a considerable jump this year. And I think that was one of the most underrated moves, is how far he came this year. I mean, it's pretty unusual to get over 50%, have as much time left on the ballot as he does, and not make it.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, because Peter, I don't have a vote, but I said that if I was voting, I wouldn't vote for Omar. I think he's a tough choice. I understand why people would. Fans got mad at me. But I do think he is going to get in. As you say, I think it was Gil Hodges, the last guy that hasn't gotten in, being over 50% this early?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. What's fun is, for me, is that people care so much more about now than when I was first in the business. I mean, yeah. It was almost like a little private club voting, or, you know, there would always be voters from New York. Well, I'm not putting anybody on. Nobody's a Hall of Famer to my eyes. And I just think that all the discussion that we have, I think really makes for a much, much better, makes for a much more I think, thoughtful ballot. And, you know, I mean, people say, well, do you really like having people know you? It's fine. I have no problem with it whatsoever. Matter of fact, I mean, some of the heat I took over Walker, I look back, I'm not convicted. Believe me, I'm not convicted at all that I was right. I mean, I have no problem saying, yeah, I could well have been wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad he made it. Partially for that. I mean, I had this nightmare that he's going to be excluded by one vote and then just go, oh, my God, I can't sleep for two nights.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more effort and time put into it now. And the fact that, you know, a guy like Walker started out at, what, 12 to 15% is fascinating to me. The fact that, I mean, even back when Ted Simmons first went on the ballot, I remember, you know, voting and never occurring to me that he wouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he was eliminated. He didn't get enough votes to make it on for a second year. It absolutely stunned me. And so, I mean, I think that the interest in the Hall of Fame has really gotten, I think it's been really good for the game. And I think it's been great for the Hall of Fame and for the appreciation of what it means.
We're talking with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons. Peter, you know, baseball has had a number of notable black eyes over the years, right? From the Black Sox scandal, from segregation in baseball, you know, to more modern times of Pete Rose, to the steroid scandal, and now here with this cheating controversy, which I think a lot of fans are angry about with the Astros. Who knows what it's going to turn into with the Red Sox here? You've had three managers lose their job about this. Does this belong in the same?
By the way, all three are out of jobs because of Houston. Nowhere else.
Yes, that's right. That's true. Yeah, right. We don't even know what's going to happen because of Boston. Does this?
I think as they look into it, there are several other teams involved. From 2017, 2016, I'm not sure a great deal is going to happen. Now, after that, I mean, I don't think there'll be $5 million in loss of all draft choices for 2 years and all that kind of thing. I think that they're finding that Houston was the only team operating with a process that involved real time. So they knew what the rest were studying things, but they weren't picking up pitches and sending messages about them. They were maybe getting signs that runners of second base could give to the hitters. Well, that's been done forever. But I think it's been good for the game. I think there's no question that when instant replay started and they had all the technology for teams to be able to view calls and do challenges, that opened up the game to too much electronics. Too much technology, and it's been expanded. I mean, I think it's dangerous. I mean, first of all, just do what the NHL does: have a replay official off the press box.
Yep.
Spend the money there. And the other thing, and it's, I've had a couple of managers ask me this for 2 years. Each team has one guy, one video guy studying for challenges on the road. One has one at home. Why aren't they both in the same place off the press box in front of the same video screen? Why are they separately? I mean, if you couldn't cheat if you're sitting next to the guy from the other team. And that's I think they were very naive. They were so eager to put in the instant replay and get the calls right, as they like to say, that they mistook really, you know, some of the trap falls that were there. And also the other thing, and this bothers me, it really does, is that Major League Baseball owners expect to make a ton of money out of MGM and gambling. The people who are betting on games have to believe that the games are on the up and up. And so this is hitting owners in the pocketbook. I did find it very interesting that Houston, that general manager probably won't work again. Three managers lost their jobs, but they were very careful to make sure that the owner of the team could have a press conference, fire his manager and general manager, and come out the hero in the market. It's kind of one of those things where baseball always protects owners.
Yep.
Yeah. Peter, what do you think of what the Indians have done the last two off seasons now with the payroll cuts last year and now apparently again this winter? And do you believe that Major League Baseball teams actually lose money?
I don't. Just the fact that Tampa and Miami are not losing money. I think the Indians have, you know, they have tried. I don't know if they lost with bad attendance and what, $138 million payroll last year. Maybe they did. I don't know. But there is the commissioner's office does try to level the playing field in terms of payroll. The leveling of the playing field, though, needs to go more up and down, starting with the draft, moving over to international. There are a lot of things that can be done that haven't been done. And I think it's amazing, 7-year run of the Indians, given their attendance and given their revenues in that time. But at the same time, you know, maybe it's come to the point where they have to take a year or two back and see what happens. This is going to be a very important year for them because the pitching is still going to be really good. I mean, the rotation with Clevinger and Bieber and Savali and Carrasco and Logan Allen and Plesac, they're really good. I think a couple of the bullpen additions they made, the Karen check, I mean, they're going to have a good bullpen. The pitching is going to be very good. The question is going to be how much offense will there be? And if they're behind Minnesota again and the White Sox are creeping up on them come July, do they have to trade the face of the franchise? And I think trading Lindor will really hurt them and probably require a 2-year step back in how they build. They've been remarkable in development and in scouting, but Lindor's come along once a generation.
Yeah, and unfortunately he won't be here much longer, Peter. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Got it. Peter Gammons.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.